and welcome to Bear Soup. This is your host, Ron Serratia, casting my pod to you through the mysterious tubes of the internets, actually in New London, Connecticut. We have a fabulous show ahead, so settle down and listen up, bears. First, news from on set at the shooting of Bear City the Movie. An interview with filmmaker Kevin Bowe. A review of Bears on Bears 2 in Out in Print. There's something for every bear, every cub, so stay tuned. You're just in time for Bear Soup! You're listening to Bear Soup Podcast, episode number 52. First up, we have on-the-scene reporting from on-set at the new film, Bear City. From the folks who brought you another gay movie and Bear Cub, it's Bear City, the movie. The tagline is, "Romance can be hairy." Bear City is an independent comedy that begins principal photography this month for 15 days in Manhattan and in the greater New York area. Co-written by Doug Langway, whose films include Raising Heroes, and Lawrence Ferber, whose films include Cruise Control and Birthday Time, the film will also be directed by Langway. Set in New York City's gay bear scene, and taking a cue from the popular HBO franchise, Sex and the City, Bear City follows a tight-knit pack of friends experiencing comical mishaps, emotionally sweet yet lusty romantic encounters, and a cast of colorful, diverse characters as they gear up for a big party weekend. Originally, I had just been invited to come down to participate as an extra in the film. But then I managed to convince the husband to join me, and he came on the trip. We arrived at the Eagle while a scene was being shot, and we could pretty much immediately tell who the director was, Doug Langway, whom I had exchanged email with before. And when their scene was finished, Doug came over and introduced himself, and he was very warm and very sweet, and he was very excited to have me on board. I introduced him to Rocco, and he looked at Rocco, who is, you know, entirely photogenic. He's a great Santa Bear-looking man, in any case. So Doug took one look at Rock and pretty much decided that he had to have Rocco also in the film. So Rocco also stood in as an extra for a couple of scenes at the Eagle. The scenes were called the You've Got Mail Party scenes. And some took place downstairs, and some of the scenes took place upstairs on the roof. So, of course, I got to fuss around a little bit about what I wore for my close-up. And the instructions that they had given me originally was to avoid blacks, whites, and reds, because apparently they don't read so well on the camera. And that kind of confused me, because I thought, well, how do you not shoot leather, black leather, when black leather is black, you know. So I brought a black leather vest with an embroidered wolf bear on the back. I also got to wear my tan utilikilt in a couple of shots that involved the primary actors, in which one of them, as I pass by, makes a comment about Donkey Dong or something to that effect. And yes, and they gave me a name tag that says, "Hi, my name is Wolf Bear." It was for the You've Got Mail Party. If you're not familiar with a You've Got Mail Party, let me explain. Basically, everybody wears a name tag, and when you see somebody that you'd like to meet at the party or the bar, or if you'd like to buy them a drink or something, usually just you put a message in an envelope with that person's name on it. And so that's how you connect with your object of desire at that particular bar night, or wherever else it might be that they're having the party. I also got to meet a friend who is the executive producer of the film, Louis Tice. whom I had originally contacted while he was at TLA Releasing several years ago regarding the feature-length Spanish beer film called Cachorro, or Beer Cub. And since then, Lewis and I have kept in touch about the different beer films that have emerged over time, over the past few years, including Rock Hard Films' pseudo-documentary, quite unimaginatively titled Bears, A Bear Story by Kevin Bowe, which was a short romantic comedy, and Dan Hunt's documentary that ran on Logo, Bear Run. Plus also, if you have been an avid listener to Bear Soup, you will remember the other short films that we have covered from the Vermont Bear Film Festival and other venues. When I first contacted the movie makers of Bear City to see if they would be interested in having me participate, I didn't realize that the executive producer for Bear City, the movie, is indeed my friend Lewis Tice. So it was delightful to spend a little bit of time with Lewis, even though we were both primarily occupied most of the time that we were there with the shooting of that particular scene. So, in any case, a big shout out to Lewis! Well, we had a nice lunch as well, and the craft service was lovely. I mean, it was decent, and there was plenty of it. So, we were quite well taken care of, and enjoyed the process very much. I liked working with Doug and everyone else pretty much that I encountered there. As I think Rocco did too. I wasn't expecting him to participate on camera, but I guess Doug just has a convincing way about him. So we really enjoyed ourselves a great deal participating in the film and glad to contribute. It was a warm and fuzzy experience all over, and it was just a bit tough as we left driving across the coast in heavy rain at night through Hurricane Danny. So it was a tough car ride getting back home, but we made it and were really pooped when we got home. In any case, we enjoyed that, and I'll enjoy telling you more about it as the film develops. It's expected out in late 2010. So that's it for now about Bear City, the movie. Continuing with our bear film theme, I'd like to read you the interview that I did with filmmaker Kevin Bowe, entitled Telling a New Bear's Story, that is one of the new interviews in Bears on Bears. Kevin Bowe has been involved in showbiz for almost 30 years, starting his career as a child actor. Kevin has seen it all, musical theater, stage, opera, cabaret, television, and film. He wrote and starred in a short feature film, A Bear's Story, which premiered at IBR 2003 before it went on to the mainstream film festival circuit. In the movie, Kevin plays Robert, a heavyset gay man who writes obituaries for a living. Robert is perfectly happy with his single, solitary life, until one evening when he's coerced into going out to a West Hollywood bar and he meets a handsome bear, John, played by the woofy Dean Ricca. John invites Robert to a bear pool party at his house, which Robert reluctantly attends. As Robert joins the gathering, though, he finds not only a gay community all his own and nabs a hot boyfriend, in time he allows himself to commit fully to a relationship with John. Kevin, who lived in Los Angeles and now is in Las Vegas, and with whom I had the distinct pleasure of spending most of the day at Providence, Rhode Island Pride, Kevin and I sat down for a cross-country online chat to discuss the film and bear life. For more information about Kevin's film, go to www.abearsstory.com. I'll spell that ABEARSSTORY.com. The interview begins. Ron, how long have you identified as a bear, Kevin? Kevin, all my life, I think, even though I didn't know there was an actual community. I really started hanging out with the Bears for about 4 years now. I went to a Bears LA dinner night and got hooked. I can't remember how I even found out about them, but I wish I had found them earlier, for sure. Ron, did you struggle with self-image problems before that, yourself, as the character Robert does in your film? Kevin, yes. My weight has always been an issue for me, and I had bad acne as a kid. I was a child actor, so the combination of both made it difficult. Ron, what inspired you to write a film about bears? Kevin, I've worked in film for about 25 years, the last 10 in production. I wanted to start producing my own projects. I was talking at a party to my friend Sean Abley, who is a writer and producer, and I told him I wanted to make a film about the bear community. He thought it was a great idea, and that, although many people had wanted to do this before, that we could really make it happen. Sean came on as producer and brought Vinny Mitzelplick on as director, and they worked with me on the script. I wanted to work in the new 24p high-def format. I asked Hector Figueroa from ER and Cagney and Lacey, who's a brilliant cinematographer, to be our director of photography. Sue B. Montgomery came on board as executive producer with me, and we had our team. Ron, what aspects of bear community were you hoping to portray in the movie? Kevin, I've pretty much found the people that I've met in the bear community to be extremely intelligent, loving, and supportive. Also, and I know it sounds corny, there is really this sense of brotherhood. I've lived in Hollywood for 20 years and never really felt part of the gay community. Aside from a few friends from my musical theater days, I never had many gay friends. I never really liked going to bars, and I didn't know where to meet people. I found out about the bears about 4 years ago and went to a bear club dinner night, and that changed everything. Some of the guys from that dinner are my best friends now and also worked on A Bear Story. Ron, have you explored outside the LA area to other bear circuit events elsewhere? I'm wondering how interested you may be in the larger bear community. Kevin, well, I've been to Las Vegas to the Blackjack Bear Run. This was before Kevin actually moved there. And I've attended IBR a few times. I've been wanting to go to as many as I could, but it seemed like I was always working. When you're making a film, you're either on the road or working all the time. I hope now that I can get to more events. Ron, speaking of exposure, were you nervous or self-conscious about showing your body on screen during the pool scenes? Kevin, not so much, actually. I felt that the issue of acceptance of one's body was an important part of the story, but I won't lie, it isn't my favorite part of the film to watch. Ron, there's a lot of subtle and not-so-subtle humor in the film. Is that an aspect of bareness you were trying purposefully to capture, or is that more your own style? Kevin, both. The guys I hang out with have a great sense of humor, so I let their humor and my own work its way into the film. Humor is really important, I think, especially in film and in life. You can't take yourself too seriously, which seems to be a theme I found in the bear community. Ron, humor and what else? Kevin, love, acceptance, brotherhood. I don't feel that there's a lot of judgment going on, which has really helped me in my own life, learning not to judge myself or others. Ron, what was the most difficult part of making the film? Kevin, I have to admit, this shoot was really good. I've worked on some really wonderful films, Air Force One, Tin Cup, with some of the best people in the business, but this crew was really the most amazing one I have ever worked with. We shot 21 pages in 3 days, 7 locations. We had an 85-person cast and crew who donated their time. While we were shooting, Sean, the producer, ran a really tight ship, which allowed me to focus on being there as an actor. The director, Vinny, is really warm and wonderful and collaborative. He's one of those rare directors who is both technical and is there for the actors. The most frustrating aspect for me has been finishing the film. Because it's an independent film, it just takes time to get through post-production, but we are almost there now. Ron, did you have any issues with how the film was directed or shot? Kevin, Not really. There's always difference of opinion, but because Sean and Vinny and I really developed the project together from the start, and because I trusted Hector so much, we were always pretty much on the same page. Ron. Sounds very collegial. Kevin. Well, it is only a movie. No sense in getting into a huff, you know. I'm a big believer in fighting for what you believe in, so if we did disagree on anything, it was really about talking it out and making your point. We all had the common goal of making the best film we could, so that was great. No hidden agendas. Ron. If you were to make a film critically examining bear culture, more of a documentary, say, what aspects would you focus on? Kevin. That's a hard one. I found the bears seem to be so accepting. You don't have to really look or act a certain way. You can just be yourself. I don't find a lot of judgment going on. That's been my experience. The only negative thing is sometimes people take things too seriously, but that is true when you have any group of people. Plus, men are just different. Ron. Do you hope to expose bears to a larger GLBT audience, or a straight mainstream audience, by taking the film on the indie film screening circuit? Kevin. Definitely. The goal for the film has always been to do the film festival circuit, both gay and straight festivals. The quality and the look of the film is undeniable, which is mostly a reflection of Vinny's vision and Hector's expertise. With a high-definition format, the movie looks like it cost a lot more than it did. I've shown it to several people, both gay and straight, and the response has been that the message is also universal. I think people will relate to Robert and his fears, and appreciate that he takes that leap of faith and opens himself up. Ron. It may seem hard for some people to tell whether Robert's interested in joining Bear Community or if he's just participating because he digs John. Kevin. I see your point. I hope that the scene where Robert talks about heading up the Bears for Bears benefit beer bust and taking minutes for the meeting would give the audience the sense that he is really involved with the community and would continue whether he was with John or not. It's hard to fit all of that into a short film, unfortunately. Ron. Yes, that part about the Bears for Bears was rather sweet. Clearly the movie focuses on the relationship between Robert and John while touching on a wide variety of aspects of contemporary urban bear life. Kevin. I am a romantic and love romantic movies, so I wanted to tell a traditional romantic story placed in a non-traditional environment. At one point, as we were editing the film, I got jealous of Robert because he had such a great boyfriend, and I didn't. There was a part near the end where Robert is welcoming a cute new guy who's come to the bear pool party that my friend Michael and I both thought for a second, oh, here comes trouble. Knowing how incestuous bear community often is, we thought that the new guy would tempt Robert, or at least flirt with him. That's why we have Robert's friend, Mike, flirting with the new guy at the end. I was trying to show the full circle that Robert had gone through. At first being the newcomer, then being the one to welcome someone else who's new. Robert's pretty true blue. Plus, Robert's lover, John, is such a hottie. It would take someone pretty amazing, I think, to sway Robert from John. Ron. One of my friends commented that he seemed to notice a lack of smaller bears, otters or wolves, although I thought generally there was a good range of body types. Kevin. There are some at the pool party, but we didn't have enough coverage to spend a lot of time on them. I'm glad to hear that you thought the representations were broad. It's hard to represent a whole community in 22 minutes. We really had to focus on telling this one story. That's why I like the title, A Bear's Story. It is just one experience, not even my own, of one man as he finds himself and his community. And I hope to explore more in the future or a series. Ron, tell me more about your future plans. You're planning a feature or series? Kevin, the response to the short has been really good. Currently, I'm developing a feature version of A Bear's Story and am also developing it as a series. Through both mediums, we can explore in greater detail what we just touched on in the short. I want to really explore the bear community and the gay community. I think it would be perfect for Outlet, the new gay channel that Viacom is starting out. I would love to really get in there and tell different stories and mix it up. The thing about the bear community is that everyone is so different. It really is a group that welcomes individuality. I love that. Ron, what are the challenges ahead to putting together such a series? Kevin, well, probably the same challenges there are for any series. But I think that we are ahead of the game and that we are telling some stories that have never been told before. I have to admit, since we made the short, every time I go to a bear event, or even hang out with my friends, I think that they are great episode ideas. Ron, art imitating life, huh? Kevin, there are many moments that are in the film that are inspired by actual events of my own life. For example, Kurt Hansen, who plays my straight best friend, is my straight best friend. His daughters and his wife show in the background in the film. I wanted to work with him and to show the relationship that we have, a gay man and a straight man, and how close we are. I hope that comes across. I really hope to break down some stereotypes. Ron, what's your opinion about current queer TV shows? Kevin, I think Queer as Folk has actually opened a lot of doors, and that it will help us in trying to do a series about bears. I also hope that it will help promote more bearish characters in shows like Queer as Folk and Will and Grace. Ron, any other comments on your film? Kevin, well, I just hope that people get to see the film and enjoy it. This online interview with Kevin Bowe was conducted January 7th, 2003, and published in American Bear magazine later that year. Here is the August 24th, 2009, out in print queer book reviews, Bears on Bears, Interviews and Discussions, revised edition, from Bare Bones Books. The review begins. Here's a bearish statement for you. Oral history is the best kind, and there's enough of it in the revised edition of Bears on Bears, Interviews and Discussions, edited by Ron Jackson Serratia, to satisfy even the most orally fixated bear, cub, otter, or what have you. An expanded version of the book that was first published in 2002, the new BOB adds an updated section on bear arts and culture, as well as an engaging interview with Metropolitan Community Church founder Reverend Troy Perry. For anyone who has been living in a cave, I should explain that in the context of gay life, a bear is a big, hairy male. From that starting point, the definition can go almost anywhere. How big is big? How hairy is hairy? Are we talking Butch or Nelly or both? It turns out that there are as many variations on bear as there are people. Thus, we have the older or polar bear, the slimmer bear or otter, bears of color, even female bears. This inclusive book even contains a lively discussion by a group of men who identify as ex-bears or post-bears. It's tremendously entertaining to read about, say, the history of the Lone Star Bear Bar in San Francisco, destroyed by the 1989 earthquake just 3 months after opening, only to reopen 10 months later and become a bear mecca. And it's inspiring to read the stories of men from all over the world who have learned, often after periods of loneliness and rejection, that it's okay to be big and hairy, and or to be turned on by big, hairy guys. Not only engaging and inspiring, but often laugh-out-loud funny, this new and improved Bears on Bears is brought to us by Bare Bones Books, an imprint of Lethe Press, with Ron J. Serratia serving as acquisitions and development editor. Some might say that the imprint is another sign of the dreaded commodification of bear culture. I would argue that the culture is rich enough and lively enough to support this effort. In addition to this book, Bare Bones has provided a valuable service by reprinting Jeff Mann's first book of personal essays, Edge, Travels of an Appalachian Leather Bear. And forthcoming is a new collection of erotica entitled Bears in Heat, Hot Macho Fiction. This polar bear can hardly wait. Wow, what a lovely review. Thank you so much, Wayne. Bears on Bears was reviewed by Wayne Courtois in Out in Print Queer Book Reviews. Their website is outinprint.wordpress.com. Come on down. I'll be at the fabulous I Am Festival with my books, buttons, and other stuff Saturday, September 12th. From noon till 6 p.m. downtown on the piers in New London, Connecticut. Yes, that place with all the ferries coming and going, the Long Island Ferry, the Fisher's Island Ferry, and so on. On Thursday, September 24th, from 7 o'clock until 10, at Club Cafe on Columbus Avenue in Boston, the Bisexual Resource Center of Boston and the New England Bi community will be honoring books about bisexuals. The listening party will include hors d'oeuvres, music, great bi community, bi positive products, plus entertaining readings from the new second edition of the book Getting Bi, Voices of Bisexuals Around the World, and Ron Suresh's Bisexual Perspectives on the Life and Work of Alfred C. Kinsey. For more information about Celebrate Bisexuality Day or the Bi Resource Center, go to www.biresource.org. Go to my blog, website, or Facebook page for more info about my appearances. And shoutouts go to the Cubby House Podcast, in particular Jack Chapman, to the Mermen, to the Jeffs, Jeff Mann, Jeff Schomeyer, and Jeff Heiskell. To A Bear's Life magazine, to Tim Martin of American Bear magazine, to my husband Rocco, to the Northeast Ursa Men, and to Daddy Mike. We're still pulling for you, buddy. And to Joe, the smooth growling bear from bearradio.net, who will be on the show sometime. You're listening to episode number 52. Of the Bear Soup Podcast with your host, Ron Suresha. Please check out the Bear Soup page on my website, www.ronsuresha.com. I'll spell that, RONSURESHA.com. Bear Soup is news, opinions, stories, and interviews for the bear community. Bubbles and rubber duckies for the Bear Soup hot tub are provided by Bare Bones Books. Check out their fine titles by bear authors at barebonesbooks.com, spelled BearBonesBooks.com. That's it for show number 52. This is your host, Ron Suresha. Thanks for tuning your furry ears here to Bear Soup.